Welcome to Pharmaceutical Executive Daily, your quick briefing on the top news shaping the pharmaceutical and life sciences industry. In today's Pharmaceutical Executive Daily, an FDA advisory panel narrowly votes to recommend easing restrictions on four unapproved peptides. A supply chain expert discusses how China's export controls are exposing vulnerabilities in the U.S. pharmaceutical supply chain. And a pharmacy benefits executive lays out a business case for more targeted employer-based GLP-1 coverage. FDA's Pharmacy Compounding Advisory Committee voted narrowly to recommend allowing four unapproved peptides, BPC-157, KPV-TB-500, and MOTSC, to be prepared by compounding pharmacies, with BPC-157, KPV, and TB-500 passing 8-6 and MOTSC passing 7-5. The votes don't constitute FDA approval and came over the objections of agency scientists who said there isn't enough evidence to assess the compound's safety and effectiveness. The panel's composition has drawn scrutiny since several recently appointed members operate or work for clinics that offer peptide treatments and could benefit financially from looser rules. Even with the recommendation, any formal change requires notice and comment rulemaking that typically takes 8 to 12 months before compounding pharmacies would have clear legal authority. Garen McHamm, Vice President of Government and External Affairs at the API Innovation Center, notes that China's newly updated export control rules give Beijing a formal mechanism to investigate routine procurement decisions by U.S. pharmaceutical companies as perceived threats to its industrial base. He says the resulting risks, including licensing delays and operational restrictions, make clear escalation protocols and diversified supplier bases essential for manufacturers. McHamm points to bipartisan legislation and continued federal investment as tools for reshoring active pharmaceutical ingredient production, but stressed that manufacturers also need certainty of demand, with the government committing to buy domestically produced medicines rather than only funding their production. Finally, Susan Thomas, Chief Commercial Officer at Lucirax, discusses the effective employer-based GLP-1 coverage requires plan sponsors to understand their own population rather than applying blanket inclusion or exclusion policies. She describes a three-pathway model that starts by identifying high-risk members, including those with cardiovascular risk factors who haven't yet crossed the threshold for a diabetes diagnosis and often lose coverage when obesity is excluded as an indication. Thomas says building targeted benefit and copay structures around that data lets employers offer sustainable, durable coverage rather than opening access to an entire workforce at an unmanageable cost. Thanks for listening to Pharmaceutical Executive Daily. For more updates and in-depth analysis, visit pharmexec.com.